All right, I'm going to ask if you would do me a favor and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was talking to my wife this week, you know, at Christmas time, there's pretty limited amount of passages you can turn to, right? I mean, there's pretty much, there's only a few that you can turn to. But when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and when we talk about Easter Sunday, right? When we talk about Resurrection Sunday, the amount of passages that we could go to are from Genesis to Revelation to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a little overwhelming for this pastor, for this preacher. You know, where do I go? What passage do I go to? And, you know, and so I pulled up all my old messages, you know, that I preached throughout the years. I'm like, well, I've never been to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've just never landed there kind of as a base passage. And I don't know how that's even possible, but that's happening today. Because if there is a spot in your Bible that deals with the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, we're not going to be able to unpack the entire thing. And yes, I do have a screen up here with some verses, and that's to help some of our guests, but it's really to help our live streamers that aren't able to be here and have a sheet of paper and those type of things. And so just trying to reach out to those who aren't able to be here and give them some semblance of here's where we're going, here's what we're doing. This is just in lieu until one day, Lord willing, we'll get a screen so we can get the lyrics up on the screen, what have you. But I want to give you a little bit of time to find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have a sermon notes, they will be helpful to you. Don't freak out. There's a lot of blanks. I know, but it's going to go rather quickly. I promise. I promise, Sydney. It'll go fast. She's looking at me like, yeah, right. I'm hungry. All right. So is everybody there? Say amen. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm just giving you a heads up. There's potential I might get a little excited today, just so you know. But one thing we were praying over before our praise practice this morning was just how easy it is for this information, this resurrection of Jesus Christ to be treated like Mason was talking about, like a fact, just like a bit of information that we know. But man, this week I just spent some time in the Gospels just reading over the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the times that is mentioned in the book of Acts, and just asking the Lord to give me a fresh understanding of it, a fresh appreciation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I don't want this news to be old hat. I don't want this to be, oh yeah, I also believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if I truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then it should change my life. It should change everything about my life. It should change the way that I pray, the way I view my Bible, the way I view everything is the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 32, I think is a great place to start, because the question that I want to pose this morning is the resurrection of Jesus really that important? And I think you'll know by the end of the message, and I would hope now, at this moment, you would understand and say, yeah, of course, it is important. And yet we live our lives in a way that is like as if it were not important. We just do at times. We have trivial conversations, and we interact with the lost as if Jesus hasn't resurrected from the dead. If we truly believe this, then this is the greatest news ever on the planet, ever, ever, ever. And we wouldn't ever stop talking about it, ever. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 32, it says, "And what advantage is it me," toward the end of the verse, "if the dead rise not?" Listen to what Paul says. If the dead rise not, if there is no resurrection, not only is the resurrection of Christ not, if that doesn't even happen, but if there's no resurrection in us, then here's what his conclusion is. He says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." He says, let's go to the buffet and let's go to the bar, because it's the only thing we have going for us. And how many lost people do you know who are trapped in that very thing? They're trying to consume as much as they can consume from the world, and trying to be inebriated from as much as possible they can be to forget and drown out their problems. And that's what Paul says. That's the only thing a lost man has to look forward to is the buffet and the bar. Holy cow. And that's the truth. He says, hey, if there is no resurrection, then let's party. Because I'm dying tomorrow. The only thing I have to look forward to is death, an eternal death. So I better party up now because there ain't no party later, right? And that's the conclusion. Am I a little loud? Can we turn me down just a smidge? That's the conclusion that Paul comes to. Oh, you know what it is? It's this thing. Can we turn this off? Just turn this off. That'll help me. I'm like being blasted up here. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 45. Look at verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And so he makes this correlation. He says, okay, Adam got you into this mess. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, is going to get you out of it, right? So he says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. A living soul. In other words, he had to take what was alive and it becomes dead, right? And then it says the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, so he's able to take that which is dead and make it alive. And so he's drawing this comparison between the first man, Adam, which got us into the mess, and the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ, and makes this comparison. And so I have on your sheet just some things to maybe get us to think a little bit about how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. Let's start with this. Adam was man in the image of God. Remember that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. God says, hey, I want to make man in my image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. So Adam is man in the image of God, but then Jesus was God in the image of man. He came in the image of man, in the likeness of sinful flesh, Philippians chapter 2. So not only that, but Adam's sin brought us thorns. Remember that? So when Adam and Eve sinned, that brought thorns onto the planet. And guess what happened with Jesus? He wore a crown of thorns, didn't they? They took a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And it wasn't enough for them to place it on his head. They took reeds and began to whip the top of his head and drive that crown of thorns into his head. And so that was what Jesus went through for us. Adam brings thorns. Jesus wore the crown of thorns. Here's the next thing. Adam was naked and unashamed while covered in God's righteousness. Do you remember that when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, I think it was verse 24, 25, right in there, it says that they were naked and were unashamed. Why? Because they were clothed in the righteousness of God. And yet when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that he was naked and he bore my shame while covered in my sin. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost fellowship with God. They found themselves naked. And then Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to take your sin upon myself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus became sin. Who knew no sin, right? He became sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But here, Jesus is naked. And understand that he bore our shame. And not only that, that he bore my sin and he bore your sin. He's bore the sin of the entire world. In that moment, when he's hanging on the cross and the Father turns his back on the Son. Why? Was he turning his back on the Son? No, he's turning his back on the sin. That's what he was turning his back on. And Jesus Christ was representing me on that cross. He didn't just die for me. He died my death. Praise the Lord. Right? Here's the next thing. Now, you're not going to find this quote in the Bible, but Adam essentially says, not your will, but mine be done, right? That's essentially what Adam says in the garden. What does Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but thine be done, but yours be done. Isn't that what he said? He says, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Then take it a step further. Here's Adam. He was disobedient unto death under a tree and became a sinner. And Jesus was obedient unto death on a tree and became my sin. You see how Adam and Jesus are mirror images of each other. It's the exact opposite, right? And so Adam is disobedient, becomes sin. And Jesus is obedient and became my sin. Here's the next thing. Is Adam's disobedience gave all mankind the sentence of eternal death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, right? Because of Adam. So Adam's disobedience gave all mankind the sentence of eternal death, but Jesus' obedience, man, this is awesome. He gave all mankind the gift of eternal life. Do you understand? If you are here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, you've got to hear this, guys. Everybody you know who has not known Jesus as Savior, the Bible promises them one thing. They will exist for eternity. Everybody understand that? They will exist for eternity. Now here's the question. Are you going to exist in eternal death or eternal life? That's the reality. And I guarantee there's somebody in this room, if not somebody's, who has not accepted Christ as Savior. Or you believe in God. And you might even believe some of those things we're talking about. But you've never cried out. And the Bible says that you have a sentence of eternal death on you, separation from God for eternity in a place called the lake of fire. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. And so he's offering us this free gift of eternal life to live eternally with him. Praise the Lord. Here's the next thing. So Adam dies a sinner, and then Jesus rose again a Savior. The last man, Adam, is a quickening spirit. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. The first man was a living soul. He became a living soul, and he gave it up in his sin. And Jesus Christ comes on a redeeming mission. He comes to redeem mankind, to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what was lost? It was the image of Jesus Christ. It was the image of God lost in man, and Jesus came to replace that. And to fix that and to heal that and to bring redemption to us. Isaiah chapter 53 says, it's by his stripes we are healed. So many people love to quote that verse. They love to quote that verse in relationship to healing and disease, but that's not at all the context. Isaiah 53 says, his stripes healed us. Why? Because his blood was shed. And how do we heal? We're healed spiritually, eternally healed. Praise Jesus for that. Praise the Lord for that. And maybe there's just somebody here saying, you know what, Tony, I just can't get down with that. I can't believe in a resurrected Jesus. I just can't get with that. Okay, then here's the question for you that we have to ask. What if Jesus did not rise from the dead? So let's just pretend that he didn't rise from the dead. What would that mean for us? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 14. It says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also in vain. Paul says, okay, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, if he did not raise from the dead, then we have absolutely nothing to preach. Did you guys get that? That's your blank. We have absolutely nothing to proclaim. We have nothing to preach if there is no resurrection. He says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. It's a waste of time. It's a lie. Do you guys understand that? Do you know why I get up here every single week? Do you understand why Pastor David and Pastor Mason get up and preach? Do you understand why you should be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because this is true. But if there is no resurrection, then it's a waste of time. It's a waste. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The reason we have a Genesis through Malachi, the reason we have the rest of the entire Bible is because he resurrected from the dead. Every single page is about him. It's always been about him. That's why I can't turn to anywhere in this Bible and not find Jesus. He's everywhere. But if there's no resurrection, then it's a farce. So if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, not only do we have nothing to preach, but then we have nothing to believe. We have nothing to believe. He says in verse 14, he says, then your faith is also vain. Why do you have faith? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see how these build upon each other? If there is no resurrection, then there's nothing to proclaim. Because the Bible said in that same context, Romans chapter 10, how should they hear without a preacher? Well, how should they preach unless they've been sent? Well, what does a preacher have to preach if there is no resurrection? And how are you going to have any faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And so, man, if there is no resurrection, then I need to shut up. And if there is no resurrection, then you are here in vain. You believe in vain. Did we not just sing? We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son, right? We just sang those words, and you are lying if you don't believe it. If there is no resurrection, then it's a waste of a song. All right, so not only do we have nothing to preach, but we also have nothing to believe. The next thing is, then we have no Bible. Do we have no Bible? Look what he says in verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So Paul's saying, if there is no resurrection, then I'm nothing more than a really bad used car salesman, right? Then I'm nothing more than a liar. Then I'm nothing more than snake oil salesman. That's who I am. Do you understand that what Paul is writing here is scripture? And you understand anytime he preached out of the Old Testament, and he would preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And if there is no resurrection, then throw the whole book away. Everybody with me on this? So if there is no resurrection, then no wonder you don't want to hear what's preached. And no wonder you have a hard time with faith. And no wonder you don't want to be in the book. Because you don't have any of it without a resurrection. There is no Bible. There is no nothing without a resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it's only about him. It's always been about him and will only ever be about him. He's coming again. Do you believe that he's coming again? Well, you can't believe if he's coming again if there is no resurrection. You have to have it all. So not only is there nothing to preach, not only is there nothing to believe, not only is there no Bible, but look in verse 16 and 17, because then we're still in our sin. Did you get that? That if there is no resurrection, then you are still bound to your sin. Look at this, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And this is the worst part. Ye are yet in your sins. Yeah, but Tony, I believe that he died for me. I believe the whole cross thing. It's just that resurrection thing I can't get behind. Listen, if you don't believe in a resurrection, then you're not saved. Plain as day. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe that he lived a perfect life. You can believe that he died for you. You can believe that he shed his blood on the cross. You can believe all those things. But if you can't get behind the resurrection, then you are not saved. Do you understand that? I'm going to back that up here in just a few moments. But he just said this. If there is no resurrection, then you are still in your sin. And what does that mean? Sin always separates, doesn't it? Sin always separates me from the Lord. And if I'm still in my sin, he's making it very clear that you can't get out of it. You can't get out of your sin on your own. And let me just tell you, the reason some of us believers, the reason some of us struggle with sin, the reason we dance with sin is because we've lost sight of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason sin no longer bothers you, the reason you're able to dance with sin, the reason you're able to grip onto it. Believer, I'm not even talking to the lost right now. I'm talking to you, saved. The reason we're struggling is because we lost sight of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That ought to change me. It ought to change my life. He says, you are yet in your sins. And I can't believe for a moment there's not somebody in this room who is in that state right now. The Bible says you are yet in your sins, separated from God. And right now, you should be having a woe is me moment. He's talking about me. Yeah. And I was right where you were too at one point in time. Still in my sin. Because I believed a lot about Jesus, but I never cried out to him. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do just that here in just a few minutes. Because here's where it all ends. Look at verses 18 and 19. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You just see what he just said? Those that say, yeah, I believe in God, and they would call themselves believers, and they died. Then the Bible says, all right, so if there is no resurrection, then all they did was die. Then they perished. Verse 19. Pay attention to this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if it's only bound to when we are alive, if it's only bound to when we have breath in our lungs, if it's only bound from the day that you breathe your first breath to the day you breathe your last breath, notice what he says. We are of all men most what? Miserable. If your hope in Christ is summed up only in this life and not in eternal life, then you are a miserable believer. You are miserable. He says, we have to believe in resurrected Christ. So here's your next thing. If Jesus isn't resurrected from the dead, then we have no hope in death. We have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, there are many who have no hope. Let me give you some hope today. See, look at that. We already went through page 1. Breathe. See how fast that was? Listen, let me give you some hope today. How many of you have a loved one that you knew, they knew Jesus Christ as Savior and they are no longer here, they have passed on? How many of you have a believer, know somebody like that? All right, there's hands up. All right, you can put your hands down. The Bible says that if they met Jesus Christ as Savior, if they knew him as Savior, you have hope. You know what that hope is? You will see them again. That's the hope, that they are present with the Lord. But if there is no resurrection, then what were they believing in the first place? What were they holding on to in the first place? Nothing. If there's no resurrection, then there is no hope. You will not see them again. So that's your choice. But I know what my Bible says, and I believe it to be true. So what if Jesus did not raise from the dead? Then I think we have to have the same conclusion that Paul came to in verse 32. Let's go to the buffet and let's go to the bar. Because that's the only thing we have to look forward to. See it? But what if Jesus did raise from the dead? What if he did raise from the dead? And I'm a preacher, so I believe that he did, right? What if he did raise from the dead? Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this. But now is Christ risen from the dead. See that word now? It's present tense. He didn't just resurrect once to be put to death and be gone. No. He is resurrected. He is a resurrected king. He is the resurrected Savior. He is my resurrected Jesus. Now is Christ risen from the dead. Man, I love this passage. Luke 24, verses 5 to 7. I know it's small. It's really for them. Luke chapter 24, verses 5 to 7. He says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Great question, isn't it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? I mean, they come to dress his body, right? They come to anoint his body. They come to do all those things, and they get the notice. They get the message. Wait. You've come to seek the living among the dead. Can you imagine? They have been waiting for 3 days and 3 nights to come to this moment. All they've known is that he's dead. They were expecting a dead man. And when they show up to the cemetery, when they show up to the graveyard, when they show up to the tomb, they get told, why are you seeking the living among the dead? I love verse 6. He is not here, but is what? Risen. The greatest words in your entire Bible, right there. He is not here, but is risen. That is the greatest message they ever heard. That's the greatest message I ever heard. And that's the greatest message I've ever preached. He is not here, but is risen. And then he reminds them of what the Bible said, what Jesus said. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day, what? Rise again! Now, the Bible says that they didn't understand it when he preached it. They didn't understand it when he said it. They're like, what are you talking about, rising again? How can they kill God? They can't kill God. The Bible, Jesus says, nobody kills me. I lay my life down and I pick it back up again. No one's able to do that. He conquers sin and death and hell. He takes it all on. But he reminds them of what Jesus had to say. What does he do? He reminds them of the word. Because you can't have the word without the resurrection. You can't have the resurrection without the truth of the word of God. You have to have them both. And so let me draw this conclusion for you, that Jesus did raise from the dead. He is a resurrected Savior. And we are not celebrating the resurrection from the dead. That we're not celebrating that it's possible. We're celebrating that it happened. You get that? When we come together and we sing songs, when you wake up every day, believer, when you have breath in your lungs, believer, you are not celebrating that the resurrection is possible. You are celebrating that it happened. So let me ask you this question. Am I able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Or are you just here because you know there's mashed potatoes waiting on you when you get home? Are you just here because it's time for families to get together and have the reunions? Or are you here because you're willing to and you're excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And don't get me wrong, I like me some mashed potatoes. But that pales in comparison to the greatest news ever. So my question to you, everybody in the room, are you celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Some of you are able and refuse. And some of you are unable because you have yet to believe. You've yet to call on him as Savior. So let me bring this to a close. Very simple deal. So if you've tuned me out the whole message, if you've tuned me out completely, don't tune me out now. This right here is going to be the best message you've ever heard in your life. Not because this guy's eloquent. I'm not. But the word of God is true. And if you will believe what we're getting ready to talk about, the Bible says you have the opportunity to receive eternal life. Because of his resurrection. Because he did resurrect from the dead. I am free from the penalty of my sin. I am free from the penalty of my sin. Now, the reason I use the word I and not we, because I don't know where you are with the Lord. I know where I am with the Lord. I'm free from the penalty of my sin. I'm a sinner. Did you guys know that? Is that a surprise to anybody else? I mean, I'm a sinner, and I'm a pretty good one. I'm pretty good at it, pretty talented. Been doing it my whole life. But there was a day in July 1993 where somebody shared this exact message with me. And I knew it was true. And I knew I needed the message because I knew I was separated from God. I've been going to church for a year to 2 years. I've been going to church for a while, hearing them talk about it. But it never became true to me. I never realized it was about me and not just some fact that they're talking about. I am free from the penalty of my sin today. That I don't have to pay for my sin. Praise the Lord. Why? Here's why. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. But what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you understand that if you are in your sin, if you are still yet in your sin, that God has to give you a paycheck? He has to give you the wages of your sin. He has to. He has to give you the wages of your sin. You know what that wage is? Eternal death. Separated from God for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Great, great, great news. There are people in this room. This is where you're headed.
Do you guys get that? Is this you? Are you separated from God right now? Still bound in your sin? And God is offering you a gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way. Amen? Romans 5:8, maybe you're saying, well, Tony, you don't know how bad of a sinner I am. There's no way that God could save me. There's no way that God could ever do that for me. God would not do that for me. I'm just not qualified, really? Because Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. While you were yet sinner, he didn't say, go get cleaned up. He didn't say, go change your life a little bit. He didn't say, go knock off these rough edges and then I'll take you. He didn't say any of that. What did he say? While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Tony, I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, hear it again. This is the greatest news on the planet. That God had you, Jesus Christ, had your name on his mind when he laid down his life to take your sin upon himself. That's true love. That's true love. While you're a sinner, Christ died for us. And I love this. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever, not those who God has pre-chosen from the foundation of the world, not that. Not only those who are qualified. Nope, not that. Whosoever. Raise your hand if you're a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? You're a whosoever. You, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. You'll be saved. You got to call on his name, though. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very simple. You have the opportunity to cry out and call out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul today. Well, what does it mean? What does it require of me? Faith. It requires you to believe. It requires you to believe that God, that Jesus didn't just die, but he rose again. Was there ever a moment in your life where you were understood that you were a sinner and you were separated from God, and you understood that if nobody came to rescue you, that you would bust hell wide open when you died? Was there a moment where you came to that conclusion and said, okay, I understand that I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God, and I understand that Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect, sinless life and he died in my place, and the Bible said he didn't just die, but he was buried and he rose again the third day, and I believe he did that for me. Was there a moment in your life where you called out and you accepted Christ as your Savior? Was there? July 1993 for this dude. What about for you? And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in the room that needs to make this day the day that they cry out and ask Jesus Christ to save their soul. Because honestly, if you are not saved, the rest of the message does not mean anything to you. You need to get that one. You got to get this. If thou, you, believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here's my question to you, church. Is there anybody here who says, you know what, that's me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, and I'd love. Tony, you're supposed to do that with eyes closed and everybody looking. No, we're doing it right now. Anybody in here say, you know what, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. All I'm going to do is say, if you raise your hand and say, yes, I need to know Jesus as my Savior, all I'm going to do is ask you to step out, and somebody will meet you out there with a Bible and share with you how you can meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there anybody here that says, you know what, that's me? I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is very, very important. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I want to know for sure today. Anybody? So what you're telling me is everybody in the room is saved. Is that what you're telling me? Everybody in here knows Jesus as Savior? Well, praise the Lord. But maybe you're just, maybe you weren't brave enough to raise your hand. Maybe just maybe you're saying, you know what? That's a big ask. It is a big ask. But do not leave here without accepting Christ as Savior. Say, I wasn't brave enough to raise my hand. Okay. Then come see me. Come see anybody in here that you know is saved and ask them, will you show me how I can know Jesus as my Savior? What do I need to do? Because honestly, the rest of this doesn't apply to you. But because of the resurrection, I am free from the penalty of my sin, and I can't even begin to tell you how thankful I am for that fact, that I am not going to stand before a holy, awesome, righteous God and be held accountable to my sin, that that's been taken care of, that it's removed as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord for that. I'm so thankful for that. But my question to you is, has that happened for you? Are you free from the penalty of your sin? Here's the next thing. Because of the resurrection of Christ, I am now free from the power of my sin. The sin no longer has a grip on me. Sin no longer has a hold on me. I am free from its grip. If I'm struggling with sin, it's because I have a firm grip on it. Everybody with me on that? This is very important to get as well. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. No, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, praise the Lord, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what he just said? You don't have to serve sin anymore. You're no longer gripped by its power. It has no power over you. It has no grip on you. If you're struggling with sin today, believer, it's because you have a firm grip on it. And you need to agree with God that not only did you die with him, but you resurrected a new Christ. You are new in Christ. He says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be free from the power of sin. You don't have to dance with it anymore. You don't have to struggle with it anymore. You just need to make up your mind that you're going to agree with God about it. Just agree with God, and you'll be free from your sin. Stop living your life as if the resurrection of Christ did not happen. Because it happened, you are now free from the power of sin. And get this, believer. Get this. You'll be free from the presence of your sinful flesh one day. Because of the resurrection of Christ, one day you're going to get a body like Christ. That's what you're going to get. Larry Buck's going to see again. Amen. He's going to see again. Cancer is no longer going to be an issue. The sin that's been gripping you is no longer an issue. That there's coming a day, believer, that you are going to get a body like Christ. And I love how John puts it in 1 John chapter 3. He goes, man, I don't have this figured out at all. I don't even know how this works, but I do know this. I'm going to be like him because I'm going to see him as he is. And I just love that because I can't wrap my mind around the fact that I'm going to put off this carcass you see before you. And I'm going to get a body like Christ, that I'm going to be not just free from the penalty of my sin and not just free from the power of my sin, but one day I'm going to see Jesus Christ face to face. And I'm going to have a body just like him. and I'm going to be free from the presence of my sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You understand that I am saved, my spirit is regenerated, my soul is renewed, but I still carry this filthy flesh around. Does everybody understand that? If you are saved today, you still have a filthy, disgusting flesh. That's why you took a shower today, or at least hopefully within the last 24 hours. Right? That's why you primped it, and that's why you cleaned it up, and that's why you got all prettified to show up here today. Why? Because we have filthy flesh. We dress it up to make it look good. But there's coming a day I get a body like Christ. He's going to quicken, breathe life into this mortal body. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, he says, and not only they, but we are, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves are grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know what we're talking about? The rapture of the church. If the Lord tarries, some of us may close our eyes in physical death. And you'll open your eyes to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that you will meet us in the air. Those of us who are still alive when Jesus Christ returns, right? The resurrected Jesus Christ, when he returns, the Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, we get a body like him. The redemption of our body. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is where we'll close. Verse 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. He says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what, church? Victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the victory today? Do you truly have the victory? Then let me just remind you to walk in it, to live in it, to not just believe in a resurrected Jesus, but to live the resurrected life. That you are no longer paying the penalty of your sin. You're no longer gripped to the power of sin. And praise the Lord, one day you're going to be in his presence and no longer bound to the presence of sin. But I can walk in victory today. Some of you in this room need to be saved. You need to know Christ as your Savior. Call out to him and receive him as Savior. Understand that you are separated from God by your sin, and it's only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. You need to be saved today. And church, we need to start living like it. We believe it. Don't just celebrate Easter once a year. You celebrate it every moment of every day, because we serve a risen Savior. Amen, church? We serve a risen Savior. It's the greatest news I've ever heard. And it's the greatest news I ever shared. I'm so thankful for it. Let's stand together. Now listen. Parents, I know some of you were corralling kids and had a hard time receiving all that. I get that. Grandparents, aunts and uncles and all that. I get that. But I just tell you, these kids couldn't have heard a better message today than that. They need a Savior just as much as anybody else. Now listen, we're going to go our separate ways. We're going to get busy. There's a lot going on. I get that. And some of you, maybe one of you, I don't know, needs to stay in this room and do business with the Lord. Get saved. Some of us believers just need to be reminded of the resurrection today. And then we're going to pray, and our children are going to make their way, and parents, or don't just release your children by a highway. Don't do that, right? So parents or guardian or somebody taking the kids out front, you'll get some instruction. Tiffany Tidd is leading the charge out there. think Jared and Molly and people are helping. So you want to make your way out there. But if you hadn't got your picture taken, you'll want to make sure and do that. So we're going to be hanging out for a while. Some of you are going to go and go eat your mashed potatoes. And you're going to miss out on what God just spoke to you. Let's do some business with the Lord. All right? Dayton, will you come up once you close us out in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for that resurrection. We thank you for that gift, the free gift that you gave that we so often take for granted. Lord, I just pray that you would light a fire in each and every believer that's here to start living like it, as Tony mentioned, Lord, to start celebrating, and not only celebrating within ourselves, but spreading it to our friends and family so they can know. And Lord, if there is any here that don't know you, that haven't made that personal decision, that haven't called out, haven't confessed with their and believed in their heart, Lord, that would just take place today, Lord, that you wouldn't let them leave. And if so, Lord, that you wouldn't let them rest when they do.
Yeah.
Just continue to prick at their heart. And we just, again, want to thank you for all you do for us. In your name I pray.